Let's open with hymn number 20. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Oh,
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who by thy Son didst feed 5,000 men in the desert with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, we beseech thee to abide graciously also with us in the fullness of thy blessing. Preserve us from avarice and the cares of this life, that we may seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and in all things perceive thy fatherly goodness, through Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday in Lent is found in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, the 7th through the 10th verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of Galatians, the 21st through the 31st verse. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the 2 covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Spirit say? The Scripture say, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here ends the gospel. Here ends the epistle lesson. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. The Holy Gospel for this day is found in the 6th chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse. Things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do.
Philip answered him, 200 denarii of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign which Jesus did, said, This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to me.
We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 312.
grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 6th chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give to us the bread from heaven, which is Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that we may eat and be filled, not for this life, but unto eternal life. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, here we are in the middle of Lent, considering the death of our Lord. Yet in the middle of this season, on this 4th Sunday, we take a little detour and catch our breaths. There is plenty of gloom ahead for our Lord as the cross approaches. But here in the midst of the season, we lift up our hearts for a moment to consider the gracious manner of Jesus, who is the bread of life, sent down not to destroy, but to comfort men and feed them and nourish them. The time of our lesson is about a year before his crucifixion, just before the Passover. After learning of the death of John the Baptist, Jesus and his disciples left Capernaum by boat. They wanted to get away to a quiet place and rest and pray. But it was not to be. For a huge crowd of people learned that Jesus would be crossing the sea and immediately set out, hurrying around the shore. And by the time Jesus and his disciples arrived, the crowd was well on their way and quickly surrounded them. About 7,000 to 8,000 people, maybe. We know there were 5,000 men beside the women and children. So much for solitude, rest, and prayer. And yet, here they were. They'd come because of his miracles, because they'd seen the signs that Jesus had done. They wanted to see more signs. Their heart was in the wrong place. Jesus could have sent them back the way they had come. But that was not his way. He had compassion on them, we're told by one of the other gospel writers, because they were like sheep that were wandering about with no shepherd. And so, rather than taking his rest and mourning the death of John the Baptist, he healed and taught. And soon, before anyone knew it, it was getting near the evening. And they had a serious problem on their hands. These foolish people had set out into the wilderness with hardly a thought given to what they would do when they got there. They brought little or no food, and they were nowhere near a city where they could provide bread for such a large group. If Jesus had sent them away, many of them would have fainted along the way for lack of food. Think of these people. They set out foolishly, for foolish reasons. And as we see at the end of the lesson, with foolish intent. What obligation did Jesus have to feed them? None. Yet, not only does Jesus teach and heal them, he provides their daily bread. That is always the way of our Lord. Which of the children of men today deserves their daily bread? Have we not also often acted foolishly and wasted what was given to us, done our labor, or filled our offices with impure motives? Haven't we daily forgotten that we are only sojourners on this life and it is not our home? When we eat the daily bread which Jesus gives to us, even so do we remember that he is the bread which comes down from heaven to give life to the world. And yet even with all our failures, Jesus still provides us with every need of our souls and our bodies. He does not give up on us, but he continues to teach us and to comfort us and to feed us. And so in the wilderness as ever, Jesus is the master teacher. Here was an opportunity to test the faith of his disciples and so strengthen them. For by now they were getting rather anxious. They saw the problem before Jesus even said anything. The other Gospels tell us that they had already urged Jesus to send them away before it was too late. And Jesus responded, much to the disciples' chagrin, "No, we should feed them first." Imagine their thoughts. With what? Before they could voice their exasperation, Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Well, even if there were a nearby place with enough bread for something like 7,000 or more people, they had a bigger problem, namely a lack of funds. One does not just invite a small city out to dinner on a whim. Philip responds, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough to give each of them even a little. That was the equivalent in those days of about 7 months' wages for one laborer. And it is likely that Philip names that amount because that's all they had in their treasury. Now, this was a test, but the disciples failed miserably. It was rather obvious that there was no natural way out of the problem. That was precisely what Jesus was trying to draw their attention to. And rather than trusting that Jesus, the Lord's anointed, would surely provide what men could not, they basically just threw up their hands in exasperation. They had forgotten the miracle of the water made wine. They had forgotten the words that Jesus had preached on another mountaintop. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? There was Jesus, standing amongst a crowd of foolish people, surrounded by forgetful disciples with weak faith, who still did not trust that Jesus would provide. And there, where everyone around him was a failure, Jesus was gracious. He showed love to the foolish, the faithless, and the forgetful. And he set about to perform a miracle that would meet the bodily needs of the crowd. Now notice that Jesus does not just clap his hands and cause a fabulous feast of good things to appear out of nothing. He had the crowd sit down, and then in an orderly fashion, he took bread and fish, and from it made more bread and fish, as if it was the most normal thing in all the world. Well, the people clearly knew that something miraculous was happening, and yet it was also normal. The disciples took the bread and fish, and they just simply divided it up, and they passed it out, giving people as much as they wanted to eat until everyone had eaten their fill. Jesus was not there to entertain or grandstand. He was there to educate, to confirm the witness of the scriptures, and to increase their faith. And he chooses ordinary means to do this. So ordinary, in fact, that men usually fail to see when the Lord is providing the daily needs of our body and soul. How seldom do we remember that the bread that we eat today comes to us from God, and without his gracious care, we would have no food or clothing or shelter. Every day Jesus performs this sign amongst us by giving us our daily bread, and so answering the prayer which we pray in the Lord's Prayer. He gives us his spiritual food. He gives to us the forgiveness of sins and comfort. He gives us hope and faith and love in much the same way as he did in that day, through such ordinary means, like teaching the Bible, or the water of baptism, or the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. The miracle almost goes unnoticed by men. Even when God is working powerfully to call men to repent of their sins and to work saving faith in their hearts and to feed and nourish his people. And yet, before long, there are baskets full of bread and fish where there was nothing before. There is faith where before there was only unbelief. Would that the crowd shared the faith of the disciples, but the reaction of the people is not the reaction that Jesus desired. Oh, they did believe on him. They even called him that prophet, the one whom Moses spoke about. But they believed on him as a man whom they could parade now into Jerusalem for the Passover and take over the kingdom from the pagan Roman overlords. Did Jesus not know that this would be the result of his gracious gifts of food? It is certain that he knew the nature of men's hearts. He knew that these people only came because he did signs and miracles. From the beginning, their heart was in the wrong place. Nevertheless, he taught and healed and fed them. And this is their response: to try to take him by force and make him their king. Yes, Jesus knew this was the nature of these people, but he taught them anyway. He fed them anyway. He does not coerce their wills and force them to believe. And wherever men resist the Holy Spirit and the teaching of Jesus and abuse God's gifts, Jesus allows that resistance and abuse to take place. Why does Jesus provide for people when this is the way they react? Why does he test his disciples when he knows that they will fail? Because he is Jesus. Because he is the Savior. He has compassion on the hopeless cases because that is what all of us are. His mercy is not just for those who believe in him, but also for those who do not. Often we follow Jesus for improper reasons. We chase after him because we think that he will give us a prosperous life or take away all our trials. Our motives may be fleshly, and yet Jesus still speaks to us his word. His own disciples were the same way. They might not have been of a mind to take Jesus by force to make him a king, but they surely expected Jesus to do this himself. They followed Jesus his entire ministry with this hope in their minds, and Jesus did not send them away. He continued to teach them because they continued to hear him, until the Holy Spirit had overcome their errors and their weakness. So it is that many have come to Jesus for the wrong reasons, but then in hearing his word, they remain for the right reasons. How often we have come to church to hear the word of God with our own false hopes and misconceptions and errors. Did Jesus cast us out? By no means. He had compassion on us in our weakness, and he taught us, and he overcame our error. Yes, there are some, like the crowd, who are not content to hear the word, but to take matters in their own hands and demand that God behave the way they expect him to and want him to. And the scriptures even tells us that from such people we are to be separate. In fact, later on, in John chapter 6, when everyone is back in Capernaum on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the crowd of people tracks Jesus down again. And when he tries yet again to teach them the truth about himself and show them that he is not the kind of king they desired, but one that would give his life for the world, they became greatly offended. And many who had begun to follow him abandoned him. Jesus gladly feeds the hungry soul, but he does not force feed it. He is the bread of life, and he gives his own flesh for the sins of the world.
But this is often not the bread men are looking for. When they spit out his truth and refuse to be nourished by it, the Lord rebukes them, but he does not force them to stay. He lets them leave. On that occasion, after these people had gone away, he turned to his 12 who remained and he asked, "Do you also want to go away?" They answered, "To whom will we go? You have the words of everlasting life. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would we go find some other Lord? For here is Jesus, the bread of life. Remain with him, and he will not send you away. Even though you might have come for the wrong reason, remain with him for the right reasons, and eat the bread of life which he gives to you by hearing every word which he speaks. Let him nourish you with the forgiveness of sins, fill you with faith and hope, and strengthen you to show his love among men. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed art thou, O Lord, and blessed is thy name forever and ever, who sendest thy word like the dew of the morning, especially in this latter day when thou hast sent unto us thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. O God, we praise and thank thee that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Out of thine unspeakable grace and mercy, thou didst give thine only begotten Son to be made sin for us, and to suffer for our transgressions, so that we might have everlasting life. We bless and praise thee, that through Christ we are delivered from the bondage of the law into the glorious liberty of thy sons, evermore having access boldly to thy throne of grace, there to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grant that we who are gathered here for thy worship may repent of our evil, forsake our sinful thoughts and ways, and find that thou wilt abundantly pardon us for Jesus' sake. And as thou, O Lord, knew the needs of all men, giving both the righteous and the ungodly their daily bread, make us to know it and to receive thy benefits with thanksgiving. O Lord, keep us in health to the end that we may serve thee in this life and in the world to come, through him who is the bread from heaven, even Jesus Christ. cause thy gospel to be preached in all lands. Unite the church on earth with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Bless our schools. Give wisdom and counsel to the government of this land, so that we may worship and serve thee without hindrance, and live in peace and righteousness. To all who suffer sickness, pain, disease, affliction, or any adversity of body, mind, or spirit, give thou the strength that shall enable them to bear their cross, and the spirit of him who taught us to pray, thy will be done. In his glorious name, and for his kingdom's sake, we pray these things. Amen.
We sing hymn number 347.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. True blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the new committus.
Which thou hast prepared.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn number 52. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Good morning.
Morning.
Nice to have a fairly full house again this morning. A couple of weeks ago, it was really full, but good to see you all here today, and hope to see you again soon. Oh. What? Easter breakfast.